a brighter day is here. Good morning, may we bring you cheer.
We've got time, we've got tunes, we've got time, tunes and temperature.
Get up and go, it's today, you know, on KSCO Radio.
Guess where I went? Guess where I went? I went to Southern California this week, and I drove both directions. Yeah, all the way to San Diego to the National Association of Broadcasters Convention. It was a blast. Yep. I must say that the show is getting smaller and smaller every year, though, as the industry shrinks. Yeah, more about that.
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
All right, no guest, no topic in particular. It's another one of those free-form open mic Saturday specials. That's why we have the special fanfare music bed. Thank you, Aaron. Thank you for playing that in lieu of a non-existent promo, you know. So what are we going to talk about? Well, I have two suggestions. I just have two suggestions. How about this for an imaginative suggestion? The Bush-Kerry debate. Okay, then it says here, read emails. Ask for email comments. Invite calls from Kerry supporters. Hey, last week, was it last week? No, I guess it was the week before. Last week we did the real estate show with those guys about the high cost of real estate in this area and why. Did you like that? Did everybody? Did you get anything out of it? A lot of people.
I was kind of busy during that show.
Answering phones?
Answering phones. They were ringing off the hook.
Yeah, see, so that was a pretty interesting topic. I mean, some people said, why are we doing that? It's not political. Of course it's political. We did it, and it was a good program. But, you know, I'm remembering from the week before when we were, was it the week before? We had some Kerry supporters who called the radio station. Was that last week? You don't remember. You were answering phones. It was either last week or the week before. And I was gratified by that, ladies and gentlemen, because so often we don't get calls from left-leaning people, but we're starting to get more and more of them. Now, maybe that's because more and more people are listening, are tuning to their only outlet for local talk. You know, maybe that's the reason here, or maybe it's because we're nice to them and didn't blow them away. But whatever, I especially want to hear from Kerry supporters today. At 479-1080 or 477-1340. Welcome to the Saturday special, by the way. Geez, I haven't even told anybody what the program is. My name is Michael Z, and I'm in the studio, and Erin Bond is the pilot in command. She's the greatest. And so when you call in to go on the air with your thoughts and accusations or whatever, Erin, chances are, is gonna screen your telephone call. And if she likes what you say, or what you're proposing to say on the air, you will get on. Now, we can't guarantee that we'll keep you on for very long. If you know, just if you're a caller with some action here, chances are you'll stay on a longer time. All right, Bush-Kerry debate number two yesterday. I didn't get to see it live. I saw a rerun of it on television afterwards. Very interesting thing that I noticed here when I was driving. I was listening to it, I guess, I was listening to it on the radio on KSCO on the way home from L.A. And I didn't get home until probably about, you know, the last 2 minutes of the program. And as I was listening to the program, it really sounded to me, like, I mean, just Kerry came across way, way better than Bush. To me, now on the radio, okay? Certainly for the first maybe 45 minutes or so. Bush warmed up and got his stride after that. Very interestingly, when I looked at the rerun on television, it made all the difference in the world. I mean, there's no question that Kerry is a smoother debater. He's much more articulate. And though I didn't hear much substance at all yesterday, any more than I have ever before, but for people who were tuning into the debate to help them get off the fence, as it were, My opinion is that because of Kerry's smoothness yesterday, that there's a good chance that that he garnered some more support. What do you think? 479-1080, 477-1340. If you want to give us a call here at AM 1080 KSCO, your only venue, local venue, to talk about the debates. Now, if you don't want to, that's fine. It's an open mic program. If you want to bring up a totally unrelated subject, feel free, ladies and gentlemen. That's fine. In the meantime, I am going to read a couple of emails that I retrieved this morning. My email address is mz@ksco.com, mz@ksco.com. I'll try to remember to bring that up so you can email the program if you would rather do that than participate telephonically. But here's an email sent yesterday from bellfrog@cruiseio.com. Bush was asked about his three mistakes and what he would do differently. Bush absolutely did not answer the question. This avoidance is just one example of Bush's lack of reality during his reign, in quotes, as president. The debate this evening only solidifies Bush's position as an arrogant individual who has led this country down a very dark path in history. The madness must end, and it's signed, sincerely, Deanna Drumgool Young on Baker Street in Aptos. Well, yeah, I noticed that I wondered how he was going to handle that, and he did not answer the question. I am a Bush supporter. I think I will continue to be a Bush supporter. He would have to do some horrible things beyond not very actively support stem cell research for me to not become a Bush supporter, and I don't think I could ever become a Kerry supporter, but I do want to hear from people who are Kerry supporters and tell me why. Maybe you can change my mind. 479-1080, 477-1340. Another debate. This is from Gregory Tomasin in Seattle, Washington. And it was sent to me and a bunch of other people in the media here. It says, to the editor, as in the first debate in Florida, President Bush yet again proved utterly unable to articulate his ideas at the St. Louis Town Hall Forum. He repeated himself frequently and responded to questions in ways that bordered on sheer nonsense. Throughout the debate, he rarely acted presidential, particularly when he rudely interrupted the moderator, Charles Gibson, of ABC News. His short temper certainly got the best of him. In light of this poor performance, it is beyond me how the media can perpetuate the myth of this president as a competent leader. Yes, George Bush is that slow-witted 10,000-pound elephant in the room that the American news media has blithely ignored for so long. His abrasive, childish behavior on Friday evening has decidedly betrayed that myth. Of course, while we ordinary Americans see just one very large, insensitive Republican pachyderm in George Bush's skewed reality, he sees many more elephants, but only of the pink variety. And that's, again, signed Gregory Tomasin from Seattle, Washington. Okay. Yeah, it's interesting. People are sending out they're sending out emails critical of Bush. I didn't get a single email positive. I don't know why. But, well, anyhow, if you want to stick to this topic, that's fine. Another topic I want to touch on while we're here is the big news that Howard Stern is moving from broadcast television to satellite when his contract is up in about a year and a half, I guess it is. Very popular broadcaster, frequently called a shock jock, who talks almost exclusively about sex and bodily functions to an enormous audience from his Infinity-owned flagship radio station in New York. And he is just sick and disgusted with the way the Federal Communications Commission has stepped on free speech, in his opinion. And as a result, he said, screw it, I'm getting out of here. I'm getting out of broadcast radio. And I'm not going to take it anymore. I'm going to go where I can say and do anything I want. Satellite! So, and of course, his very dramatic, shall we say, message here was released in perfect time, right as the National Association of Broadcasters Convention, where I was in San Diego this week, was first getting underway. So, what do you think? He very arrogantly said, I guarantee you, everybody, that this move that I'm making today, that I'm announcing today, will spell the death of AM and FM broadcast radio. What an arrogant statement! Who does that guy think he is? Jesus himself? My God, I've never heard anything like that. What do you think? 479-1080. 477-1340. Okay, Krishna, you're on the air as our first caller on the Saturday special. Hi there.
Hello.
Hi.
Good morning, Michael.
Hey, would you get off a speakerphone, please, because you're real echoey.
All righty, let's see.
Yeah.
Hello.
Much better.
Okay. Yeah. I wanted to talk about the elections in Afghanistan.
Oh, okay.
Isn't that marvelous, Michael? If it were for the pessimism of the left and the naysayers on the left, you think that this would have occurred? You know, Bush hung in there and the Afghanis hung in there to do what they're doing now.
Well, I think some Kerry supporters are going to call and take you to task on that, because as I understand it, Krishna, and I could be wrong, I believe, you know, the Kerry supporters were with us in Afghanistan, but not in Iraq.
Yes. Oh, but you should hear on NPR, which I listen to every morning,
uh-huh,
the amount of criticism about it's not going to work, it's
uh-huh
going to fall apart, this is not an election, it is, you know.
Oh, I see. Okay, so they're saying, you know, that it's
the
Afghanistan elections
are pulling down of the spirit of the people.
Right.
You know, and the same goes for Iraq.
Uh-huh.
You know, my husband asked me a question like he always does. Says, who do you think won the American independence? I said, well, the Americans, of course. He said, no, the French. It was the French that helped us get to where we are. People need strong nations to protect the small and the weak. And we are doing that now.
Right.
And
well, listen, I'll tell you, before you go any farther, I want to bring, we do have a Kerry supporter who has called in. I hope we'll get many during this broadcast. But let me bring in that Kerry supporter. That would be Ed at Aptos. Is this the Ed I know?
It is.
Hi, Ed. How are you?
Not too bad.
Got you with Krishna on the phone here.
Well, so. I just wanted really to just talk about the one main topic, and is the war in Afghanistan. Not in Afghanistan was okay, but the war in Iraq.
Okay.
And some of the points of it is that I think that he rushed into the war. There was things were going. We had no-fly zones. We had people bombing. We were bombing or patrolling the air over Iraq, and that he was pretty well pinned down and not really a threat to the American people at that
okay,
time.
Okay, so I was right that nobody's arguing with the fact that we went into Afghanistan.
No, as a matter of fact, we should have gone in with more troops and cleaned out and got rid of the warlords so that we could
I think
the problem with Afghanistan now is that they're putting out more opium than they were before. And you know that hardly is even said, but there's very little control in the countryside. It's more in Kabul than our presence is in Kabul, and the rest of the country's left to the warlords, and they've gone back to their old ways, and which is their main cash crop is opium.
Let's talk briefly about the debate, if you don't mind, Ed.
I think that everybody looks at him and sees what they want to see in him, and I thought that Kerry did better, and you maybe, your first email said that Bush didn't answer the question. So, if he would have answered the question, did he make a mistake? And he'll never say he made a mistake by going too fast in the war. Also, he said that one of the points in the thing was somebody asked him about the number of troops in there, and he said, he didn't follow what the He said he followed what his general said. Well, he probably cherry-picked his generals because the chief of staff said, we need more troops. And there was, because we didn't have the troops in there, there was a lot of things that happened that probably wouldn't have happened if we would have had sufficient troops to take. And probably the primary thing is the guarding of the ammunition dumps. Now you have all that ordnance out there in the hands of the, they're terrorists now, that are blowing up the Humvees and setting them off in places and killing killing both Iraqis.
I got a question for you. So I've heard Kerry say we should have finished the job, with Osama bin Laden in Afghanistan. And obviously, you go along with that, I'm sure, right?
Why divide your forces? Why not concentrate on one war at a time instead of going in and trying to fight two wars at one time?
Do you think that if the war in Afghanistan would have been how can you continue a war if you just for one guy? That's what I don't understand. But suppose
You're not doing it for one guy. You're doing it for control of the country and to get it stabilized. I don't think we have these warlords in there. Each one has his own little fiefdom, that you really don't have a stable country there.
Hey, are you still on with us, Krishna?
I am.
Okay. Is Ed saying anything that makes you want to claw his eyes out or not?
No, not really.
Okay.
I will concede to Ed that as far as debating goes, our president is not as fast on his feet as Kerry is.
Uh-huh.
Of course, he's had 20 years of experience doing that.
I don't, as far as the debate goes, and one of the things, I think the issues behind the debate are the things that are important.
And of course, you being on the left, Ed, and me being on the right, I think the issues behind what the president talks about substantive.
Let me ask you a question, you being on the right.
Yeah.
How happy are you? I thought that people on the right were conservative, and they're conservative fiscally. Now, I would say that our huge deficits would be something that you would be very unhappy about.
Oh,
I'm
yes.
very unhappy about it.
But I'll tell you what, being a woman, I have a different slant to it. But, it's coming down to, like, $24,000 per person in the U.S., our debt.
You know
and
what?
I don't like it at all. But, I consider what this country went through to get the debt where it is, with the recession, with the war, with 9/11, give the guy a break. And, a few years of good economy, and it's going to be wiped out or brought to a place where it can be handled.
Well, I just wonder that, the majority of the thing went to the top 2% who wouldn't have one way or the other. Maybe I was in close to that at one time. Excuse me. And that I don't think that they put where they put their money is unbeknown, because they can send their money overseas and invest it overseas. We don't know that how much of that money actually got back into the American economy.
Hey, I want to thank both of you for calling the Saturday special. We've got quite a number of lines here that we need to get to, so we will do that now. Thank you, Ed and Krishna. Our next caller will be Ethan in Moss Landing. Did I do this right here? Ethan, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, yeah. You're on the air on the AM 1080 KSCO Saturday special.
I just want to comment on Howard Stern, and while his comment may be a bit cocky, I do believe
that... Yeah, that's a good word, cocky, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's always been his hallmark and his stance.
Yeah.
But I think part of his attraction...
And most good broadcasters are, yeah.
Indeed. Right. I would like to say that his move does represent a possible trend in the future away from FCC-regulated broadcast
uh-huh.
to a more open content format that's available.
No, one but an idiot would argue with what you just said.
Mm-hmm.
So that's for sure. But he said the death of AM and FM. That's crazy.
The death.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Yeah, that.
This spells
I...
the death, and I absolutely guarantee it. He says.
No,
who the hell is he to guarantee it? Anyhow, yeah,
okay.
no question. Just like just because you could say F bleep bleep K on HBO and you can't say it on broadcast. And by the way, what I think is really funny about these broadcasters who think that they're going into a quote unquote safe haven, by going into satellite where they're unrestricted. Guess what? It's only a matter of time, everybody, before the government realizes that since it doles out the satellite channels, that they will decide that they're going to regulate the content as well, because that's all part of the public airwaves. So what that you have to pay? That shouldn't make any difference. Anyhow, that's what I predict is going to happen. So the biggest laugh of all is going to be on a Sirius satellite systems, which, you know, had their stock had a great big spike yesterday because they've been the second banana to XM satellite, and XM satellites, you know, dropped like a rock yesterday because they didn't get Howard Stern. But what I think is going to happen, because they paid way too much, they paid $500 million, if you believe what was said. And, you know, my guess is that no one would be that stupid. I mean, maybe it's $500 million if they're successful, if this happens and if that happens. But, wow, to just say that, you know, they're paying him $100 million for each of 5 years or something like that, no matter what. Hey, I mean, I don't care what happens. I don't believe I don't believe that company is long for this world. But I could be wrong.
I think I agree with you at this point.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for calling, and particularly for agreeing with me.
You're welcome.
Take care. That was Ethan in Moss Landing. Hey, let's go to our own Dave Allen. You're on, Dave.
Howard Stearns.
Yeah?
The guy's a has-been gutter snipe. The guy's over the hill.
No, he's still pretty damn popular, you know. That he can command that kind of money, I mean, is a statement right there.
But like you say, they can't be long for the world. He could have a contract, but if the company's out of business, how are you going to honor it? You know what I mean? The company's gone. They can't honor the contract. They can't pay him.
Uh-huh.
They'll give him a rubber check. There'll be wax on the windows.
Anyhow, so do you think that's the death of AM and FM broadcast?
Yeah, sure, right.
Uh-huh.
Try and get a satellite channel when you go through a tunnel. or even in your garage. Satellites
don't come
in. You have to have a freaking antenna outside somewhere. That's why satellite phones haven't really, really taken off yet.
Uh-huh.
You have to have a wire outside. You can't get under your ceiling.
Well, they're going to get better and better. Why? I think wireless is much more of a threat to broadcast.
Sure.
Broadcasting, you know, radio and television than satellite is, personally, because, you know, wireless is... Who would have ever believed that the umpteen trillion cellular telephones would replace the you know, the 50,000 watt clear channel. I'm not talking about the company clear channel, the 50,000 watt clear channel stations across the country.
Yeah, the
collective power of, you know, these, you know, microwatt power cell phones.
That's right.
is minuscule compared to these, but there's so many of them that collectively the power is much greater.
There's clear channel greedy with 6,800 stations or whatever it is. They have phones, you know, take pictures.
Well, they certainly overpaid for most of their broadcast properties, I think they're going to have a tough time staying in business. I'm going to predict, ladies and gentlemen, that Clear Channel, and again, I hope I'm right on this. I do hope I'm right on this, because I don't care for Clear Channel as a company because of the way they have treated independent broadcasters. I'm predicting that they're going to get their comeuppance here, and that they may well go out of business someday.
Now,
maybe that can't happen because they're so big, and maybe this is really naive what I'm saying, but I think, you know, you've heard the old expression, the bigger they are, the harder they fall.
Well, you know, all these cell phones that send pictures, and you know, the next phase is AM, FM, stereo cell phones, and then little watchman cell phones.
Uh-huh.
They watch TV shows. Yeah, but cell phones are basically a PC now. You know, portal PCs, messaging, internet access, or cell phone. I saw on the Science Channel, Tech Now, the new cell phone that's about the size of, I was a little bit bigger than those StarTechs we have, but the back folds out like a butterfly. It's a little keypad. Now you have a computer.
That's right. Oh, it's, yeah. I have one of those. I got one of those Trio phones.
Yeah.
That's made by a Handspring, which is the same as BlackBerry, and I can get my email on it. I could surf the web. I can do everything. You know, it's very slow compared to, you know,
yeah, but
fast speed.
But
right, in a pinch, it's great. It's just wonderful.
And now,
in fact, I can can
now
listen to
the new thing now is in malls and shopping centers. They have a little cell phone pod inside the mall. Therefore,
uh-huh.
you can sit there in the mall, have your McDonald's, Mickey D's, and be on your little cell phone, internet, and the right 20 feet away is your receiver. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
You get clean, quick service, and uninterrupted. All they'll do is add on, like, a Sony Watchman for TV, and then you can add AM, FM radio. So, how it turns, anyways, what everybody forgets to talk about so quickly is the vice presidential debate.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, I think what's his name mopped the floor?
Cheney
mopped the floor. He mopped the floor.
You've got to think about this, though. I mean, there's two guys that are literally heartbeat away from being president. And you have Cheney, who's been around. He's an old time. He's a crocodile, man. He's been around a long time. He was a congressman. He worked for President Reagan, President Bush. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They consider gone Edwards. And they call it really gone. Senator gone. Guy never shows up to work. I was out campaigning. He's a weekly ambulance chaser. Guy's had no experience. I mean, seriously, if something happened to Kerry, which is very likely, you want Senator Edwards.
Why do you say that, Dave? Why do you say something's very likely?
The guy idolizes John Kennedy. He's trying to push the envelope. First of all, either I'm a prophet or I do my homework. Now, you'll have to admit that a lot of things I said and predicted years ago all came out in the wash.
Most of them came true. That's true.
I'm not a prophet. Just that these things don't happen by accident. I had a lot of liberal friends of mine. Oh, man, Kerry kicked Bush's ass. He mopped the floor in him. Second debate, you know, I'm getting very discouraged. I mean, the more I listen to Kerry, the less I see hardly any difference. Hello? There basically is no difference.
Uh-huh.
They both have a job. They're both being told what to do. There's people above them in the background.
Now, so as far as you're concerned, it doesn't matter. May I ask you a personal question of who you're going to vote for?
I got my absentee ballot in front of me. I haven't even really decided. Because the way I look at it, a vote for Kerry and Bush is 6 to 1/2 dozen. The only difference between Kerry and Bush is Kerry is the only difference between a socialist Democrat, you know, and a conservative Republican is a socialist Democrat is a Republican in a hurry.
Yeah.
I'm serious. But you're going to study regional stuff. I told you to get that DVD for you to check out. Afghanistan, the reason is this is something Kerry and Bush both know, but they can't say this. They can't admit this to the world. The whole deal is freaking oil. Now, up in the captured area, captured base, which is above the mountains, above Iran, Afghanistan, and if you go to the northwest, it's east of Iraq, they predict 40 billion barrels of oil. Now, the reason with Afghanistan, the reason Bin Laden was basically used as a pawn, probably an active and voluntary player, because we need a clear route for oil pipelines like Alyeska in Alaska, right down through Afghanistan, right down the ocean. We can't have that with warlords running around. And as for the opium, the Muslim warlords are actually against opium. Okay, I'm not sticking up these morons, but all these Islamic fundamentalists don't like drugs. It's against Allah. It's just to desecrate your body.
Uh-huh.
They try to stop that crap, but there's certain powers that be that do want opium. Right now, opium in the West, that is Europe and the United States, is cheaper than it's ever been in 50 years. It's flooding the markets. And opium drug trade creates a lot of petty cash for the cashless society and for the basically economics of the United States. Now, if you study where the oil comes from, right, they want a pipeline right down from Afghanistan. But then they recently discovered about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, that above Afghanistan, the Caspian Basin maybe has a little less than 4 billion barrels of oil, whereas the northwest region of Iraq has about 35 to 40 billion barrels. Oh, so where would you want to go next? Obviously, Iraq. And we are not going to be holding with our hat in hand to pipsqueak like Saddam Hussein. We can get him the hell out of the way, get a pipeline in right away. Because the whole economy of the world and United States security depends on oil. But Bush can't say this. Kerry can't say this. Kerry knows it. Bush knows. If Kerry wins the election, I guarantee you, within 2 months, you're going to see major policy change. You're going to see the same old people in the cabinet, same old people in the boats. It's going to be business as usual. It'll be up there double-talking, making excuses, spinning why he has to change his plan, why he has to deviate from his agenda.
Wow.
Because the fact is, the world, because of this stuff, and they're not going to, we're not going to lay down our automobiles, our industry, our planes, trains, jets.
Dave, you've made your point here. We need we've got a full board, and we really have to move on. But thank
you. Get out of the map. Get out of the map. Look at the strategic area. Then think about why is Kerry and Bush now more and more alike? Because basically they are. They're both actors on a big stage, and they have directors.
Okay. Thank you, Dave Allen. Good to hear from you.
All right.
Okay, talk to you soon. There goes Dave. Our next caller, I believe, will be John on a cell phone, then Mike in Prunedale, and we got a bunch of other callers after that. So let's see, where is John? He's on line three. That you, John?
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Welcome to the Saturday special. Thanks for waiting.
Yeah, I think Dave Allen's been overdosing on his Dr. Wallach vitamins, I got to tell you.
Why do you say that?
Well, first of all, the reason why we're going to have a bumper opium crop out of Afghanistan is because the Bush administration decided to deal with the warlords. And in exchange for using them to hunt down Osama, in quotes, we're basically, we have a hands-off policy with the opium. So here in Santa Cruz, we'll have a lot more heroin flowing through the streets, I guess. And also regarding the debate between Cheney and Edwards, most of the country saw it pretty much as a draw. I also kind of saw it as a draw until the facts started coming out about how many times Cheney lied. For example, he said that he'd never met Kerry, and now you can go on the internet and there's several pictures of them together. That's number one. And then he also said that he never said that there was a connection between Al-Qaeda and Saddam, yet, again, there are several news clips like Meet the Press, etc., that show him saying that. So had he not lied, I don't think those zingers that everybody's talking about would have, you know, had the effect. So, yeah, just that's just a few of my comments, you know, okay, regarding Dave Allen. I was calling originally just to, you know, thank you for not making excuses for Bush in these debates, because most of the conservatives that I'm hearing, they're just making excuse after excuse after excuse. And I want to thank you for this morning just coming out and saying, you know, Bush is losing these debates and Kerry looks better. I mean, it's just a fact.
And you're not going to like this, but I don't think he looks better with substance. I think he looks better with style, you know, or sounds better anyhow. Because, it's really interesting when I looked at the rerun.
Yeah.
And I saw that, you know, at like 11 o'clock or something,
right,
on CNN.
Right.
It sounded, I was left with a different impression. I think Bush came across much better. Now, you might not agree with, I'm sure you don't agree with that.
I definitely think,
because you probably didn't listen like I did. I didn't have the benefit of seeing the live debate.
And
all I'm saying is that if you're listening on the radio, I mean, Bush sounds like a doofus compared to the other guy. But if you see him, he's not smooth. He's not, but he has his own charisma. He really does.
He does. And I have to agree with you that compared to the first debate, when he's able to walk around, then you can't slump on a podium.
Yeah.
I mean, and he definitely, I liked the way Bush moved as compared to Kerry. Kerry tended to walk up and stand and then talk to the person,
uh-huh,
where Bush moved, and that even forced the cameras to do different angles and stuff.
Right.
So I agree, but substance-wise, I think you nailed it. When you just listen on the radio, he sounds like a doofus. Mm-hmm. And I want to take it a step further. I don't think he looks like a doofus because Kerry is such a great debater. If you look back over the last 4 years, any time Bush is not scripted, he sounds like a doofus. And I want to challenge all the people out there that say he's smart, because I'm sorry, anybody I've known or read about or heard talk that is smart, I'm sorry, they go hand in hand. If you're smart, you sound smart. If you're dumb, you sound like a doofus. Bush can read a script really, really well, but when he's just talking, he sounds like a doofus, and there's a reason, because he is. And I just want to leave you with this.
Okay.
I heard this the other day, and I think it sums up Bush completely. The clothes have no emperor. I think they sum him up. So that's my two cents.
You're predicting a Kerry victory, right?
I think it's going to be very, very close. I think it could go either way.
Still a Kerry victory. Oh,
I don't
really?
Know.
Oh.
I don't know. I hope Kerry wins. I pray Kerry wins. I don't know if it's going to be a Kerry victory, just because I think so much of so many Americans are pretty shallow, and they love those little flip-flop quotes, and that's what they take with them. Most people don't even bother watching the debates.
Uh-huh.
You know, they're not like you and I and most of the people who listen to the station. So
what
I'm
are
really
those
worried.
People like? Oh, you mean intelligent? Is that what you mean?
Well, or they may be intelligent, but they're not investing the time to listen.
Uh-huh.
I think too many of the people who are going to go vote, and this is on both sides, they're all about, you know, those little snippets that the
right.
news comes out with, you know?
Hey, I got an email from a Kerry fan here.
Okay.
But I will thank you for your
call
to the Saturday special, John.
Right on.
Do
Thanks
keep listening and tell everybody you know. Appreciate it. Says, MZ, I'm a big fan of Kerry. Both Jim and Drew. A female friend of mine stated that if she was looking for a one-night stand, that she would pick Kerry with a K-E-R-R-E-Y, or K-E-R-R-Y, rather. However, if she wanted a long-term, sincere, and trusting relationship, that she would choose Bush. The Kerry camp is delusional. They have put forth nothing as far as a platform. They have recanted their position on a number of issues on countless occasions. They are young sapling trees which change direction with the prevailing political wind. They've voted for every tax increase and spending program with the exception of funding for the troops. If Kerry supporters place style over substance, then vote for Kerry. If, however, you seek a strong and secure future, then the choice is simple. Bush. And that's from the C3 group. Oh, this is a wonderful email that I will forward to anybody who requests at mz@ksco.com. Let's see, 17 minutes before 11 a.m., hour number one of the KSCO Saturday special. Let's take Mike in Prunedale. He's been waiting a long time. Mike, thanks for waiting. You're on KSCO.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
A lot of things on this morning. For one, I think the fellow that mentioned that it's harder to fight two different fronts being Iraq and Afghanistan. President Clinton just decimated our forces so badly that, yes, it does make it harder, and we have a lot smaller fighting force going into that war in the first place. So, I mean, that's hardly anything we could blame Bush on when folks talk about an impending draft and whatnot. You know, it's pretty much over the Internet.
Well, he put that to rest last night.
Oh, you know, I had to work last night, and I missed the debate.
Yeah, he said absolutely not. He didn't say read my lips, but, you know, that was
good,
the point
good.
Here. He said there will be no draft, so, you know.
Well, fantastic.
As long as he's president, is what he said.
Yeah, well, I think we have plenty of young guys and girls out there that are willing to stick up for our country.
Uh-huh.
I was in the armed forces myself. The other thing, the fellow that said it was folks that tend to be smart, sound smart. I'd like to differ with that. I've been up in front of promotion boards and whatnot in the service, and I know exactly why they have the glass of water in front of the guests at Jay Leno, because people in front of a camera act completely different. You can just look at the O.J. trial, I mean, for no better reason. The reason the cameras are there was to affect the trial. When somebody's up in front of a camera, it's not necessarily how they act and react in a boardroom or behind the scenes in the White House. I think, you know, the fascia, you know, I like Bush. I hope he wins. But, you know, a lot of times he does look like a deer in the headlights. And when you see him in a more impromptu, or he's just kind of going off the cuff in a more of a I don't know, laid-back way, that he tends to think right off the
well,
top of his head, and he moves around pretty well.
If there are still people on the fence, and I don't know that there are many or any, actually, but if there are still people on the fence, what I would ask them to ask themselves is, who do our enemies, if you're an enemy of the U.S., do you want Bush or Kerry to win? And my answer to that is I very resoundingly believe that enemies of the U.S. want Kerry to win. That's
right.
What I believe.
Oh, I wouldn't.
And that should be enough right there for someone even who hates Bush to want to vote for him. Anyhow.
Who was the person that brought up the fact that France wanted us to win the Revolutionary War? I thought that was a great comment.
Oh, yeah, that was one of our callers. I forget which one.
Yeah, that was a pretty interesting call there. I like that. You know, because you have to look at when people say, so many of the population around the world would vote for Kerry if they could, or this or that.
one, many of them don't know what the American experience is like. They don't know what it's like to live in this type of a system. And two, the news is skewed, whether better or for worse, overseas. They're getting a different message than we are here.
We're going to try to have a special guest appearance from a special wise person next hour. Don't know. I'm throwing out a tease here. I'm not sure we're going to be able to pull this off, but we're certainly going to try during the break.
Something totally unrelated. Did I hear who is the fellow that used to have a show there a long time ago? He filled in for like 1 hour or for one show.
Dave Allen. That was just him on the phone.
No, no, not Dave. Oh, God. The guy who's real in your face. Single dad. I remember he used to be on the weekends.
I don't know.
He's a black fella.
Oh, Rob Roberts. Okay.
Rob Roberts.
Yeah, yeah.
Did he fill in like a month or so ago?
Yes, he did. Yeah, he filled in on this program.
Oh, okay. I don't know the reason for him leaving or not being around as much, but that was great hearing him again. I like to hear him, and I don't know if he's listening. Kudos.
We'll put that down.
All right, okay. You guys have a nice day.
Thank you, John. You too. There goes John on. Oh, excuse me, that wasn't John. That was Mike in Prunedale. Here on the Saturday special, where it's 13 minutes before 11. Here's a email from Landon in Capitola. Question, what is 48? Answer, the number of times John Kerry said, I have a plan during Friday's presidential debate. Question, how many of these plans did Kerry define, expand upon, or give details to? Answer, zero. Question, who deserves your vote in November? Answer, Bush. That's from Landon in Capitola. Let's see, we also have an editorial from, or a commentary from Kay coming up here, her latest. Already getting a number of emails requesting copies of the text for that. And that'll be coming up right after the right at the top of the hour here, right after the news, I guess. And you're listening to the KSCO Saturday Special. It's an open mic special. Most people seem to want to talk about the Bush-Kerry debate number two yesterday. And you can do that by calling 479-1080 or 477-1340 or emailing me at mz@ksco.com. You can email me anytime, or if you want to get a voicemail message through to me, I will pick that up in my email. Yes, all you need to do is call 429-2222, which is our KSCO easy-to-remember listener comment line, and the computer will automatically turn your voicemail into an emailed voicemail to me. Okay, so that's pretty interesting. We got open lines at 477-1340, so give us a call if that's where you want to, if you want to get on the air here. And we've got Billy Sunshine, SoCal Bob, and one or two other phone callers here. Richard N. Watsonville and Pat in Santa Cruz. So, Aaron is screening phone calls, so we'll wait a little bit for the commercial break, and we'll just go ahead and take... SoCal Bob. hello, SoCal Bob. You there?
How are you, Michael?
Very good. How are you?
Have you been a good boy lately?
Yes. Yes.
That's no fun.
I know. a wise man used to say, don't let your meat loaf.
Yeah, I wonder who said that.
Yeah, a wise man.
Well, anyway, Michael, you made a comment about you thought that the most people, if they had a chance to know what was going on, would vote for Bush over Kerry. Why do you say that?
Is that what I said?
You said something like that. Maybe I got the tail end of it there.
I said that if people will ask themselves, even Kerry supporters ask themselves who our enemies would like to see as president.
Okay,
good. That's what I said.
Sure. Why do you say that?
Because I believe that our enemies want a wet noodle milk toast to be the president of the United States. And not a guy like Bush, who might stumble over his words and not be real articulate, but the guys, he knows what he's doing.
What makes Kerry a milk toast?
He flip-flops. He changes it.
Well, who attacked us? Did Iraq attack us?
I don't know. I think there's a very good chance of that, and I believe that Iraq has a bad man running it, or had a bad man running it.
Iraq had nothing to do with 9/11, and that's been proven time and again. Now, what we've done going into Iraq, and you know I supported the president when he went into Afghanistan. When we went into Iraq, what we did was we enticed all the terrorists, a number of terrorists, including the Taliban, to come into Iraq. I don't mean the Taliban.
It's become a breeding ground for terrorists, is what you're saying.
A breeding ground for terrorists. You remember what Ross Rose said about being a big sucking sound?
Yes.
What's happened in Iraq is that our going into Iraq has been a big sucking sound for terrorists to go into Iraq, which has compounded the problem. As far as being a milquetoast is concerned, you talk about a milquetoast. Bush is one of the biggest milquetoasts I've ever seen, but I don't want to get into the personal element. I had another thing I wanted to bring up.
Was that personal?
I wanted to follow up on what Ed Manning was talking about.
Oh, okay.
Ed did a good job.
Yes.
In talking about
Ed is a fine man.
Yes, he is.
I've known Ed for many years.
So have I. One of the things that people don't mention, if you want to talk about conservatives and liberals, which I wanted to bring up 2 weeks ago and started to bring up when you had Paul Sanford on with Jeff Bossard and Boring Jeff. You remember that program?
Yes. That was on Yom Kippur, which is why I was not hosting that day.
Don't you believe in states' rights?
Sure I do.
Okay, what about Bush sending Ashcroft into Oregon to overturn a law passed by the people of Oregon?
Now, listen, Bob.
Suicide.
Now, listen, I think that's terrible, and I don't think that Bush is an angel. There are a number of things about Bush that I don't like, but I would much rather have him be a president, post 9/11 world than that Kerry guy.
Why don't you answer my question about going into Oregon?
I did. I agree with you. I don't think that's good.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's bad.
Okay. Well, anyway, you're doing a good job this morning, but I could go on and on about this. There's a number of things.
Give us a couple of others, because I didn't say we want calls from Kerry supporters, and you are a Kerry supporter. So.
When I look at Kerry, I don't think he's perfect. He's running for political office, not for sainthood. You could say the same thing about Bush, I guess. But Bush, as far as I'm concerned, Bush is the worst president we've had since Warren Harding. He makes Richard Nixon look good, and that's a big thing for me to say. I could go on and on about this, but I guess you have other callers that you want
to... I would like to get you on a program with Kay, you know, arguing about Bush versus Kerry. I think it would be just a killer program.
Well,
do you think Doreen will let you do it? I don't know if I can get Kay to do it, but do you think Doreen will let you do it?
If Kay wants to do it, I'll do it.
Okay. All righty. Well, yeah, so we'll see what we can do here. Thanks for calling, Bob.
Wait a minute.
Yes.
If you can't get Kay on, get somebody else. I mean, it doesn't make any difference to me. I mean, I respect Kay a lot. And as you know, when it comes to local issues, Kay and I and you and I have been in on many local issues together where we agree.
That's exactly right.
And I usually don't get involved in national issues like this. There's some local issues that could be addressed. Can I say one more thing?
Sure.
I think it's very interesting to talk about the presidential election and national elections. What people don't realize is that local elections are very important. When I go to a person who's supposed to be well-informed, don't even know who their supervisor is, or their city councilman is, or what the urban service plan contains, or that kind of thing, or what it's like to get a building permit. These are the things that should be discussed more and more, not only on your program and in political discussion.
You know, that's an interesting...
But in classrooms, in the county and in the country. Don't you agree with me about
that?
Yes,
in fact, I'm beginning to think that maybe there should be a requirement for a person to take a test in order to become registered to vote.
I won't go that far. I think they should be well-informed. I mean, if you...
Well, a test would prove that they're well-informed or not.
What do you think about what they do in Australia? They fine people for not voting, as long as you brought that up.
Well, at least it's not the death penalty.
Well, I mean, it's not the death penalty, but what do you think of the idea of making people vote by fining them?
That's sort of interesting. I mean, I have to think about that. I really do.
But having the elections on Saturday or Sunday, which would bring more people to the polls.
That's another good idea. Bob, you're full of them today.
Yeah, you know, some people say I'm full of a lot of things, but not I. Don't let your meatloaf.
Okay. All righty. Very good. Now, we're going to play Kay's latest commentary right now, okay? And we're going to use that to finish up hour number one of the KSCO Saturday Special. So if you're on hold, stay there. We will get to you immediately after the break. It's this KSCO Santa Cruz. And we do have to do the commercials, too, don't we? Yeah, but let's do the commentary now.
The following is a KSCO commentary. Here is Kay's Whirling.
The following political tidbits were put together by Anonymous. Again, timely and worth repeating. He or she calls it, I wonder why. I call it a perfect example of irrational liberal bias. Clinton awards Halliburton no-bid contract in Yugoslavia. Good. Bush awards Halliburton no-bid contract in Iraq. Bad. Clinton spends $77 billion on war in Serbia. That's good. Bush spends $87 billion in Iraq, and that's bad. Clinton imposes regime change in Serbia. Good. Bush imposes regime change in Iraq. Bad. Clinton bombs Christian Serbs on behalf of Muslim Albanian terrorists. Good. Bush liberates 25 million from a genocidal dictator. Bad. Clinton bombs Chinese embassy. Good. Bush bombs terrorist camps. That's bad. No mass graves found in Serbia. Good. No weapons of mass destruction found in Iraq yet. Bad. Stock market crashes in 2000 under Clinton. Good. Economy on upswing under Bush, and that's bad. Clinton refuses to take custody of Bin Laden. Good. World Trade Center's fall under Bush. Bad. Clinton says Saddam has nukes. Good. Bush says Saddam has nukes. That's bad. Terrorist training in Afghanistan under Clinton. Good. Bush destroys training camps in Afghanistan. That's bad. Both Clinton and Bush have said and done exactly the same. However, liberals have a visceral hate for Bush, which is bewildering. Now, I would like to conclude with a few other tidbits. Recently, John Kerry gave a speech in which he claimed Americans are actually paying more taxes under Bush despite the tax cut. As usual, he gave no explanation and provided no data for this claim. Another interesting fact, both George Bush and John Kerry are wealthy men. Bush owns one home, his ranch in Texas. Kerry owns four mansions, each worth several million dollars. Bush paid $250,000 in taxes this past year. Kerry paid $90,000. Does that sound right? The man who wants to raise your taxes obviously has figured out a way to avoid paying his own. For KSCO and KOMY, this is Kay's Whirling.
USA Radio Network News. Kurt Lewis reporting.
There had been a little bit of rain.
But whether that...
www.kseo.com.
Up-to-the-minute news and the best in talk. AM 1080, KSCO Santa Cruz, and AM 1340, KOMY Watsonville.
Two of the Saturday special. Give us.
Ignore him, don't call.
Kerry debate number two yesterday, but bear in mind that sometime during this hour, we are going to provide the definitive answer as to who won it.
I'm sorry, baby, but I really gotta go to KSCO Radio. Bye.
And if you want to call us and participate, it's 479 lines are busy right now, but if you can get in at 477-1340 in area 831. mz@ksco.com is my email address. If you want to email your contribution to the program today or talk to me anytime via email, mz@ksco.com. So let's go back to the phone lines and thank everybody who's been waiting, because I know a lot of you have been waiting for quite a while. Billy is on the air.
Michael.
How are you, Billy?
I'm fine. How about you, buddy?
Good.
Great. Jesus.
Are we allowed to say Jesus?
No.
Exactly.
Yeah, go ahead and say it. That's fine. I don't think that's one of the words. I'm not sure there really are seven words. I think that's a whole George Carlin thing, you know?
Well, there was seven words, and now it's not words, but it's even, you know, being thought. Suggestive. If somebody could take offense, we're going to fine you.
Yeah.
And,
real scary what's happened. That's another subject, unless you want to make it the subject.
Well, you know what? I do want to talk about that, but let's talk about Bush Curry first, and then let's finish with radio.
Okay.
Okay. Let's play a game. I'm going to lay out a one-sentence statement about Bush policy. You tell me, first of all, whether it's true or not, true or false, and then tell me whether it's good or bad.
How long will this take?
Oh, this will be very fast.
Okay, good. Go.
You know I give good radio. Come on.
Good. Go.
The FCC under Bush has been really restrictive and is hurting radio.
True
or false?
True.
Good or bad?
Good, bad.
Bad. The energy policy. We have two oil men.
But wait a minute. I'm trying to think if he appointed anybody. I think those were all. He didn't appoint Michael Powell. Michael Powell was appointed by Bill Clinton.
Oh God.
He's not my favorite either. But Clinton.
No, not mine either,
Clinton appointed him. So let's be true.
But the fact is that it's gotten really out of hand, and it would appear that Bush and his minions support that rather than are fighting against it. How about that?
I don't think there's any kind of a mechanism to remove a chairman of the FCC by a sitting president. I don't think. I could be wrong.
But again, the atmosphere, let me say it this way, the atmosphere is more supportive of people not being able to express their opinion and choose their own words and symbols under George Bush and his people, or not?
While Bush is president, I will say, yes.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
While Bush is president, which there may or may not be a connection. Okay.
Okay.
That's the farthest I'll go with that.
Let's talk about energy policy quickly.
Okay.
We have two oil men as our leaders in energy policy.
Okay.
And as someone pointed out, opium is cheaper than it's ever been. Oil is more expensive than it's ever been by a factor of 300%, pretty much. And we have an energy policy that this oil man Cheney managed to do in the dark, and after four courts have told him just to tell America what went on in those meetings, he refuses to do it. Is that true or not?
Say that last part again.
That Cheney refuses to obey the four courts who told him just to share with us the meeting, the minutes of the meetings with the energy people, with
okay,
his friend Ken Lay.
I believe that's true. Yeah.
Good or bad?
No, not good.
Yeah, right. Okay. How about let's see. Here's one interesting. Then a lot of people will disagree on this one. Let's see where you're at. He's giving money to church groups directly. You know, our tax money is now the faith-based initiative. Do you really think that it's a better world where we break down the separation between church and state and start actually, in my opinion, buying votes?
No.
There you go.
That.
Right. Stem cells. Do you want me to go into it, or you just want to say it's true and it's wrong?
It's true and it's wrong.
Yeah. Deficit. Bigger than ever before. It's immoral because it charges our children with our bills.
I believe that's true.
Yeah. And bad. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But again, different world now. And
sure.
I think no matter who was president, I think the deficit would be larger now than it's ever been before because of 9/11.
Well, that brings up Iraq. Because obviously, I agree that this is a world where we've got to spend whatever it takes to kill off terrorists everywhere. Unfortunately, when you go to some place where you wanted to go anyway, and you know, isn't that the issue? Let's talk about the more subtle issues. For months, Bush got up before us and did a dance where he pretended he was still waiting to see if we were going to go to Iraq and see how things worked out.
I don't know if it was a dance, but I remember.
Well, did you believe,
it lasted sort of a long time.
Did you believe? Here's what I believe. Let me tell you. I'm obviously, I happen to think a lot of my intellect. I'm always trying to second guess everything I hear. That's what I am, a skeptic. So when I heard him saying those things, my opinion was, George, you know you're going. You just haven't finished selling it with your propaganda to the American people. Did you have any feeling like that at all, or do you think I'm wrong about that? Wasn't he going to go way before he admitted it?
Probably.
Yeah, yeah. And the problem people have is even when he did finally go, it was still sort of quicker than it needed to be. And it turned out, you know, again, reality has to slap us in the face. There were no WMDs. And as it turns out, those of us who were watching kept watching the reason for going to Iraq changing as it needed to, based on whatever poll numbers. Because we were being sold, not told.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So you know, I'm not sure that you're a Bush voter.
How did I score on the game?
You're 100% honest. Okay. Which is, and you know, by the way, let me just give you that compliment. You are one of the few conservatives that are willing to hear the other side. Like you go to the movies and everything else. Most conservatives I know don't even want it uttered. You know, that's why Bush had such a problem in the first debate.
Well, I've got that problem with conservatives. I agree with you, and I also agree that it's a shame that most of the left-leaning people are that way, too.
There you go.
I think it's very sad that we can't have a civil discussion. You know, I put it out last week that if someone wants to see a neat little surprise video, they should email me. MZ@KSCO.com, and I got quite a number of emails, and I provided the link, and it's pretty interesting actually. So I'm gonna put it out again. Just you'll love it. Just it's just really telling. That's all I'm gonna say.
What's the address?
MZ@KSCO.com is just email to me.
Oh, okay.
And then I'll email you back the link, and if you have Windows Media Player, it'll just start playing a little 2 or 3 minute video. It's fascinating.
Before we go to radio, just a couple of other things. You know, you say the enemy wants Kerry.
I believe that.
Let me give you the reason why I think they
I
want
believe
Bush.
I believe the enemy wants Kerry in the just like so many people say anybody but Bush.
Right.
I think they're saying anybody but Bush as their president.
Let me tell you why.
As the president of this country, rather.
Okay, let me tell you why I think that's not the case. Here's why I believe they want Bush. I was very impressed with Bin Laden's letter to us about why he attacked us. When he said really scary things like, our children like death the way your children like life. And then he also talked about bringing our country down and having it become a bunch of squabbling little areas. I happen to find Bush, and this is, again, true or false, we have never been more divided as a country than we are under George Bush, true or false. Feels pretty bad these days, doesn't it?
At this time, yeah.
And I think that makes Bin Laden and his people really happy.
Mm-hmm.
So it is possible that, in fact, George Bush is doing more to damage, and I believe this is true, George Bush is doing more to damage this country than Bin Laden or anybody else.
Okay.
Okay.
Bill, thanks for your call.
Thanks,
buddy.
Radio Saturday. Next time.
Okay. All right. Let's see. Let's go to our other call. If you're calling in right now, be prepared to wait, okay? If you've been on hold, we'll get to you real quickly here. Our next caller will be Pat in Santa Cruz. Pat, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, MZ.
Hey.
Hey, Billy said some of what I was going to say, and he said it quite well.
Okay.
And it is to your credit that you could acknowledge those points he made.
Okay, so don't be upset with me if I move on from you sooner, especially in light of that fact that your points have been...
Yeah. Okay. No, I understand that...
we have to do two commercial
my
breaks.
My time is limited,
yes.
MZ, so okay. That's okay. But... With regards to the debate, I was disappointed that the time they spent talking about our overwhelmingly biggest problem was about zilch. And we're having...
Yeah, nobody talked about overpopulation.
Yeah, well, in a broader context, nobody talked about the desperate ecological straits we're in, because this is really... Truly, with no hyperbole whatsoever, MZ,
uh-huh.
We are in the worst ecological catastrophe right now that we have been in for 65 million years. That's how bad it is. And that's not hype. That is scientifically documented fact. And how come we're talking about, we're going to maybe do this if we get around to it? Well, you know, the mess calls for a whole lot more than that level of denial. We've got a huge mess, and 9/11 is just a trifling little detail. I'm so tired of hearing how that changed everything, those 3,000 innocent people.
It did.
Now, I'm not suggesting that, I'm not dismissing the 3,000 people, but 3,000 people die, I mean, all the time from all kinds of horrible things. Do you think sitting in a cancer ward, dying slowly of this thing creeping through your lungs until you can't even breathe, you think that's a good way to go? 3,000
What does that have
people,
to do with anything? What does that have to do
every,
with the subject?
I would guess that every couple of weeks, 3,000 people die from lung cancer, and the tobacco industry spent decades telling us, don't worry about it, it's harmless, when they knew fully well, and that's documented too, it was far from harmless. Those people are just as evil as Bin Laden by a factor of orders of magnitude, and they're sitting in executive suites raking it in, and people admire them because they're rich. So I just figure there are things right now that we're being told because industry flacks are telling us, don't worry about it, that's just a bunch of stuff from bureaucrats who need their jobs, when in fact some of the most dedicated, intelligent, hardworking, and educated people who have really made the effort to do the research and know what's going on, and they aren't getting rich at it, they are telling us we are in a terrible mess. And I'll tell you, Kerry will bring up global warming, but he'll let Bush BS for a minute, and then they move on to something else, as though ecological collapse is just a detail, and we've got to focus on some big question like everything else that you just pick one of
right.
any other things they talked about.
Okay, Pat, hate
thank
to do
you.
This. Yeah, good. Thank you. You know, Aaron, I think it's time for our commercial break here, but I think we should tell everybody that they're listening to their favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO, and this is the first of two commercial breaks we will be taking, and when we come back, we are going to have a very special guest who is very wise. So stay with us, AM 1080 KSCO, back in the flash here.
Hello, I'm Robert Stangero. Many Santa Cruzans know me as Big Boy. The original Stangero family has been in business since 1879. Our name stands for quality, quantity, and great service. Howard Gilda's restaurant on the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf is still the fishing headquarters for the area. It's where fishermen gather every morning for coffee and breakfast before heading out on the bay. Stop by Gilda's and say hello. Both Gilda and I and my son Dino look forward to meeting you at Gilda's at the center of the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf.
It's the 2004 Santa Cruz Women's Expo. That's Wednesday, October 13th at the Coconut Grove Santa Cruz Beach Boardwalk. From 2 to 6 p.m., enjoy the many interesting exhibitors geared especially for today's woman. Learn, grow, and network with prominent women right here from your community. Hear noted author Dr. Lori Moore speak on her 8 steps to guaranteed happiness. And you'll absolutely love the only in Santa Cruz fashion show featuring casual wear, business attire, fitness outfits, and more. Remember, that's the 2004 Santa Cruz Women's Expo, Wednesday, October 13th at the Coconut Grove Santa Cruz Beach Boardwalk. Proceeds benefit local women's charities. To learn more, call your Santa Cruz Sentinel at 429-2434. That's 429-2434. Don't miss this one-of-a-kind event, the 2004 Santa Cruz Women's Expo. See you there.
Hi, this is Don Fredrickson from GotNet. GotNet specializes in business services. Whether you need a T1 or T3 or just a place to host your website, GotNet has a solution to fit your needs. GotNet offers server colocation and custom website development. We have e-commerce servers, streaming audio and video servers, and cold fusion and database servers available to handle your hosting needs. GotNet understands that businesses rely on the Internet, and we work hard to assure fast, reliable service. Call GotNet today at 460-2000. Food, shelter, clothing, net. GotNet.
Buying a home around here is an expensive proposition. Hi, I'm Jim Chubb with Pacific Inland. I've been helping people save money on home loans for nearly 20 years, and I'd like to help you save money on your next home purchase. Right now, Pacific Inland has special programs that are helping people save real money when they buy a home. Call Pacific Inland at 831-475-2600, and we'll tailor one of these programs to help you buy a home. That's Pacific Inland at 475-2600, licensed by the California Department of Real Estate.
Run!
So why did we play that? Well, because I like it, dang it. And also, there is some sort of significance here. Our next guest is a guy who is very good at keeping them doggies moving. It's none other than Roy Masters. Hey, Roy, you're on.
Yeah, hi. How you doing, Michael?
Good. So I just wanting to play that for a long time, so I figured why not now. Roy, got to know what your thoughts are about the debate that happened last night.
Well, If I could not address it directly, but indirectly because of my nonprofit status.
Yes.
So it's better this way anyway, because it's better if I just talk about the principle behind it all, because when I've been watching these debates and the whole political process, in the first election and this one, I'm horrified at the shallowness of the American people. It's frightening, and such shallowness can easily vote away their freedoms in a heartbeat, just like the German people voted away their.
Excuse me, Roy. Are you talking about shallowness demonstrated by the questions from yesterday's format, or
shallowness in the thinking of the people of how they elect their president? And it goes back to broken homes, and I wish I had a lot of time to explain this, but I'm going to try to make it as simple as possible. When you had more noble families, you had a more love of principle. There was more principles when I came to this country 53 years ago. It was a noble country where families were mostly together, and even black families were mostly together, not broken as much as they are today. But there's something about breaking up the family and destroying the natural order. You know, the man that loves his creator and puts what is right first, and then the woman respecting the love of the husband to put what's right before her, because a man must love what's right in order to be worthy of love by his wife or children. And, of course, the same with the woman. And the children love the mother who loves the father who loves to stand firm on principle. That's all gone. The broken family. The husband's in the doghouse.
But Roy, that's been gone for a long time.
I know,
probably
it's been
20 years.
It's been going. It's getting worse. Now, what happens is that where women used to look to men, noble men, not all of them, it worked out that way because judgments were always poor in those days. But they're more even poorer now, because when you have a broken family, there's a tendency for the children, like the Democrats and Republicans, they fight it for each other, and they. I don't know whether one has no principles or one does. There's a war, and what happens within the war in the home is that one perhaps tries to be the disciplinarian, the other one trying to get power is like a Democrat trying to support, becoming enabler to turn the child, to turn the child's vote towards mom or dad. But the point is, when you have an enabler in the house for power, which is typical socialism, the enabler spoils the child and makes the dependent on and rewards the child for the weakness and turns the child against the father or the mother, whoever is going to be the victim of this. So when you grow older, now that's just one scenario, when you grow older, the tendency is to love the one that spoils you and to resent the one that wants to correct you.
Sure.
See? Now, the one that corrects you can be a good person, but you still hate him, because it simply means he won't let you have your little egocentric little way. And so when you have candidates, now also, before I take the candidates on, so if you have a father that overcorrects, then, and he's trying to correct because mother is undermining all along and turning him against the father because she wants to be loved and she wants to have the power,
sure,
and X-ing out the husband.
Yes.
You see what I mean?
Yes.
So what you have is a father that overcorrects only because while he's away, she's undermining him and letting the kids do the very thing that he said not to. So then he blames the kids and the kids get it, rather than when it's really mom's fault,
right,
so to speak.
And it could be the other way too.
When children grow up, the tendency is to carry the sentiments of the way they feel towards their father. If they hate their father and they love their mother, they tend to draw towards the person that is the terrorist, the one that slimily or manipulates them to get their favor and turns them against the other. Hate Bush, love the other guy. See what I mean? Or hate your father, love your mother. The hate monger or the spoiler is the one that has the power over the child. And we have bred millions of people who think this way, and not only that, bring the same kind of atmosphere into their own home life, breathing exponentially even more children that way, playing the same roles.
Uh-huh.
In other words, you notice the divorce rate is high, 50-60%. That's because our judgments are not judgments at all based on common sense and discernment the way it could be and we used to be what made this country great. It's based upon how we look at the husband we're just about to marry, what that perception shell is carried forward to another person, and whether how you look at the woman that looks like your mother, or you don't want to marry a woman just like your mother. You see, you tend to project onto your partner.
I understand. And
your problems of your home.
And I can't wait to hear the connection with the candidates.
Well, you see the same thing. So now you see the two candidates dueling. I can look at both of those, and I can look past all the arguments. Because you can have a very smooth, sophisticated mind screwer who can make all the family look like the good guy, look like the bad guy, and make themselves powerful. And then you get to be ruled by the sickest member of the family.
But wait, and in this case, that's Karen.
Exactly what's about to happen.
With Carrie.
You're going to be ruled by the sickest member of the family, as sure as I'm talking to you. Because you tend to vote just the way you get married. And you wake up one morning and the mask comes off. And the girl of your dreams, the man of your dreams, becomes a nightmare of schemes, but you can't get divorced. And your whole world will fall apart. America will fall apart. The world will collapse because the world depends on America's decent judgment because the rest of the world's lost. They're socialists.
Well, haven't we been there already with Clinton and somehow we survived?
Well, we barely survived. We barely survived. It took a vote.
Yeah, because there hadn't been the 9/11 there on our soil.
I'm going to make a prediction.
Oh, boy.
Because, and this is a prediction, it's going to be true, guarantee you, your money back. You saw what happened in Spain with the train bombing?
Yep, sure.
You see how quickly the socialist-minded people, the cowardly ones,
yes,
want to give in to the terrorist source.
Yeah.
In every family, you have children who tend to want to give in to the bully and to love the dictator. That's what you've got going on right now. There's a tendency for people in America to be so sensual and so submissive to the sickest member of the family that when a bully appears anywhere in a foreign country and starts to threaten, rattle their sabers and to terrorize us, we will unconsciously, by programming, not by choice, but by programming, yield to the terrorist and turn on the good person that stands up. Give you an example. You have a husband and wife or boyfriend and girlfriend fighting in the street.
Yeah.
The woman is a victim of abuse.
Okay.
The policeman comes along and tries to save the woman. They both turn on him. That's because she's addicted to trying to please him. That's the only love she'll ever know. She needs a bully to please. Because that love, which is a form of slavery, is the only love she'll ever know.
Uh-huh.
She needs her bully.
Right.
She needs her surrender, which looks like an act of love. It's the only love she has, but it's a form of slavery. She can't admit it. The more she gives into him, the worse he becomes. The worse he becomes, the more he terrorizes into submission. That's an average home life. That's how third world countries get dictators.
So, Roy, go back to that prediction again, which I didn't quite
get. We're going to have, because of the terrorists are watching us. They're seeing that half of us are crazy. The kind of people that I was listening to just now are nutty as fruitcakes. They don't see rightly. They love the wrong person, and you cannot get them to see them their fault. And the right person is embarrassing because the right person stands up and is the very kind of person they ought to be, and they're embarrassed. They're sensuous little weaklings, and they will always give in to the strongest horse, the most powerful, meanest person Acom, fine.
Yeah, you didn't hear the first hour. Boy, I mean, if you would have heard the first hour...
I was hearing the second hour,
yes. Uh-huh.
And I don't know how you tolerated them.
Uh-huh. Well,
with all due respect, I love you.
Yeah, I know. I know. But we like to provide a forum for all points of view, you know, and just let people say their piece here. And, you know, as popular as Fox...
Can't you kick that butt once in a while, though?
Once in a while. You're here to do that.
Okay.
I wanted to say that Fox News Channel, which is it's enjoying unprecedented popularity.
Wonderful.
Now... but I've got to say, you know, Alan Combs, as you know, you've been on the Saturday Special with him, you know, and you know Alan very well.
I've been on his radio program.
And you know, I know Sean Hannity thinks the world of you. He thinks you walk on water. I mean, he's just very...
Oh, I don't know about that.
Well, he does. I mean, he has very high regard for you, and I know that personally. But I've got to say that the Hannity and Combs show, and a lot of the stuff that you see on Fox News, which I think is great, I think it's a great channel... There's so much yelling and screaming. You can't really get much out of it.
No.
I used to like that on this station until I realized that we couldn't get anything out of it here. So when people are very passionate on one side about something, I like to let them talk, and then I like to put them on hold and then let the other person talk.
The only trouble with the liberals is,
yeah.
And so also when you go to the extreme, to the religious side, you get, once they get stuck on believing something, you can't change their position,
yes,
no matter what.
Yes.
You only feed yourself to it. You know,
yes,
what I mean? So the trouble with liberals that they think that right is wrong and wrong is right, and you can't do anything right. It's like being married to someone who has put you down, and you can't do anything right no matter how much you try. Everything's wrong. There is no reasoning. And so with a reasonable person, with a conservative, look, if you show me where I'm wrong in something, and I'm willing, it happens all the time. I have a foundation. I have 15 people working, and so they have a better ideas than I do, and they have different opinions. I listen, and I love it, and I love.
I look at it like free consulting. If someone
yeah,
wants to tell me, you know, in a constructive, respectful way that I'm blowing it, and that I should, you know, that I see things incorrectly, and tell me why in a calm, respectful way. Hey, great. That's wonderful.
That's conservatism. But the trouble is, when you have an issue like homosexuality or the environment, and once you're sort of unbalanced in that direction, and it becomes the one thing that's more important to you than life itself and more important than common sense, then you have a whole people like drugs and things like that. You have all these sick people on one side. We call them sin. The old word is sin.
Uh-huh.
So all the people who, the wrong person who want their rights, will eventually take away from the rights from all the right people who want to be right.
Uh-huh.
You, there is a right and a wrong, and if you're too lenient, and you have a representative of millions of people who you've allowed in this free society, in this lenient society, this soft society, you've allowed them to grow and take strong political positions and elect leaders. You have, you know, the blind leading the blind, and the country gets divided along the lines of mom and dad fighting each other.
Roy, I have heard two talk hosts say that to be liberal is to be mentally ill.
It's mental illness.
You are one of them.
I'm the first one that ever said it.
And the second one was Michael Savage.
There you go.
Uh-huh.
I was on the air before he was.
Uh-huh.
And
you truly believe... I mean, that's a very strong statement.
It's not a mental illness. It's not a mental illness. There are some people who believe in liars. They lie to themselves, make excuses for their mistakes, and when you confront them, they'll make you think there's something wrong with you for seeing something wrong with them. Well, you can have a whole bunch of people who live, and these people live backwards. They get champions. They get their champions for their drugs. You get champions for homosexual rights. But then you get a political leader, everything that's wrong.
Uh-huh.
See, because some people in this world live backwards, and they have no values and no worth, and they feel threatened by people who have worth, who are, because, well, Roy Masters represents everything they ought to be. That's why they don't like me. But there are people who love me because I represent the good they want to be. This world is being divided into two kinds of people. The good of every race and color and creed are going to be pitched against the wicked of every race and color and creed. And the wicked people always think that the good people are evil.
Uh-huh.
The Nazis think the Jews were evil. The Al-Qaeda think the Jews, the Americans, they look at all of us looking the same way.
Here's a great fact. You'll enjoy this. To MZ from Landon is really prolific today regarding typical progressive liberal logic. Callers such as Billy Sunshine.
Oh, he's nuts.
Well, he was on just a little while ago.
I know. That's him. That sounds like him.
Okay.
Callers, he didn't have much to say on my show.
So, callers such as Billy Sunshine attempts to make their points and use the logic typical of the following scenario. A 14-year-old boy is tried, convicted, and sentenced for the murder of both of his parents. At the sentencing phase, the 14-year-old boy asks for mercy from the court.
Because he's an orphan.
You're right. The judge asked the 14-year-old on what basis to request it. The 14-year-old on the basis I'm an orphan. See,
if you have a liberal a jury, he'd win.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. Anyhow, we're talking with Roy Masters, a special guest here on hour number two of the KSCO Saturday special. We have two callers on the line who've been waiting. Millie is one of them.
Okay.
So let's take Millie's phone call right now. Millie, you're on the air.
Does this mean I'm on with Roy?
You can be, or you
don't. I don't care to. Thank you.
Oh.
Okay, it's all right.
Okay.
Whatever electronically you can do.
Okay, well, here. What I can do
I love
is,
you, too.
Okay, let me put everybody on hold right now, and I'll come back to Millie. Why don't you want to be on with Roy?
No comment.
Okay. Well, you've been waiting for a while, so what
thank
do you
call
you.
It?
Yeah.
Just one of Bush's reversals via Kerry, gutting the clean air, clean water regulations that were admired worldwide in 2000. The last 3 years, he's gutted them horribly, and he had the nerve via his last debate to brag about them. I think he hasn't read what he's done. Okay. He promised in 2000, here's another thing. He promised in 2000 to make way for seniors to get Canadian drug imports. Instead, last week, Bush, due to pressure from the pharmaceutical lobbyists, continued the status quo for the companies to continue their no-bid gravy train and to quash any easy ability for the Medicare citizens, to get imports. That just happened last week.
Uh-huh.
Medicare recipients are receiving a very small discount from the current bill, which has been so touted by the administration. It's a total giveaway to the pharmaceutical companies with some crumbs to the Medicare elderly. Okay, I'm going to move on to one last subject, thank you, the draft. And yes, you guys out there, I know that two demos put in the bills 6 months ago. I know that. And they had their reasons for doing it were because so many people, so many soldiers of color, so-called minorities, were being slaughtered in the war that they wanted to, these are my words, to have the killing more equitably distributed. And other, they were trying to go for fairness.
Okay. You've been a Kerry supporter for, since day one, probably.
I've been what?
A Kerry supporter.
Oh, yeah.
Day one. Okay, and you think he did well yesterday. You think he's going to get elected?
I think it's maybe, I would say, 50-50.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's what everybody says. Okay.
I'm not finished. I'm going to go on about the draft, please.
Oh,
this is important.
Okay.
Okay. There's been much talk of a coming draft due to Bush's intention to staff up for his protracted war plans. He's not going to just stop there in Iraq, in my opinion. The administration wanted Wednesday's draft vote from both houses to lay the draft spheres to rest. He's got reasons for that because he wants the votes from all the 30 people in their 30s, people in their 20s, they're the ones that are going to get it.
You think he's going to change once he gets
back in? Oh, absolutely. But listen to this. The Selective Service Board has put in $28 million, I know that's just chump change, into restoring 10,000 draft board positions. Did you know that?
No.
That happened 6 months ago, and nobody knows about it.
How do you know about it?
I know it from my Internet friends.
Uh-huh.
And okay. It's okay. And also, 11,000 appeals board slots. So here's my question. These things are viable, they're going, and they're ready to go. does the Defense Department know much more than the public knows about this draft? And it's going to happen after he's elected, if he is. You can be sure, because he doesn't have enough bodies to fight the protracted war and wars. Okay,
wow.
Thank you, Michael.
Okay, there goes Millie. Here's another caller. I want to get Roy back on here. Roy, I don't know if you want to comment on any of that or if you want to go on, but there's one other caller here that was on, you know, when you were talking. Her name is Margaret. I'm going to bring her on. Margaret, you're on the air here. Do you have a problem being on with Roy?
No, I listen to him every day.
Oh, good.
Every night.
Oh, good.
I don't miss it.
Bring up the subject on my show, Advice Line, on your station.
Yes. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, on KOMY from 10 p.m. to midnight each week.
I'll talk about it on Monday.
Each weeknight. Roy is on, of course.
Yes, I listen to
it. That wasn't a very good way to introduce him. I just said we have Roy Masters, not Roy Masters, the host of the nightly Advice Line here on weeknights on KOMY.
Yes, I listen to Roy Masters every night on your station, Mike Azzurro.
Great.
I want to make a comment, and I've listened to him for 6 years on your station, Michael Zwirling.
Uh-huh.
Dave Allen turned him on to me 6 years ago.
Uh-huh.
The Democrats keep saying we have such a divided country. Oh, it's the worst than it's ever been in the history of our country. Well, what about the Civil War? I mean, come on. You know, our country isn't as divided as it was in the Civil War. And, you know, the Bush administration is so-called scaring us. There is no one, I know, not one, who is scared under the Bush leadership. It's the fluffy Democrats that keep chirping about how scared everybody is. I know of no one who is scared. Karen,
see what I've said? They were the result. They're the Democrats or the socialists or the Marxist, because that's exactly what they are, and Americans who believe in them are Marxists without even knowing it. They're unwitting dupes. They don't even know it. They can't face the fact they bought a lie. But that's been going on in our schools, the breakdown of our values, the destruction of the brightness of little children. The schools are, you know, the more money you throw at schools, the worse, the more money you give them, the worse, the more havoc they wreck amongst our children.
Especially
so they grow
in California.
Up broken. They don't know how to be good fathers. They don't know how to be good mothers. They fight like cats and dogs. Families divided. There's no God in the home anymore.
Well, Carrie would be our first divorce.
That's why we're divided. That's why we're divided and so deeply divided, because if our family wasn't divided, our politics wouldn't be so divided.
Right.
We'd still be divided, but it would be the more sensible the family is, the more there's a loving family, the more there's a love of right and respect for good, and not the trauma of hating both parents and choosing one parent, the conditioning of one parent, the sentiment of one parent towards your marriage and your next family, and also towards those who you elect. You'll use the same judgment towards those you will elect as you would when you elect your mate. Exactly. And then that's how the country will be destroyed. You vote away your democracy because you're not using the common sense that has been destroyed by the struggles between mother and father, and so that you've adopted a hate of mother or a hate of father, and everyone who looks like your father, and anyone who wants to
Roy,
give you a
indulge
little bit
me
of
for, a, for a second here. Here, I want to back up to something you said earlier about about Billy Sunshine. He called your program a number of times, right? I think
twice, and he was like he was as gentle as a lamb.
Yeah, and so I thought he and you were sort of getting sort of on the same wavelength, but I guess
no. You know, a person convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. You know, that once it's a mental illness, and so when you buy a lie, when you tend to be seduced, you tend to want if a child who goes out one morning and isn't strong enough to deal with the peer pressure and takes the first snort of drug, he comes home at night and his father will say to him, "What's the matter, son? Your eyes are red." "Nothing, nothing. Mind your own business." In that one second where the child has been seduced, his loyalty has changed from the love of his family to the love of drugs and drug pushers. And your child is lost immediately.
Wow.
And so anytime someone lies to you and you doubt yourself, like the God, the, 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 the spirit of the Garden of Eden, the politics of Paradise Lost. The minute you start to doubt yourself and be made to doubt yourself, and you get angry at somebody makes you angry at your father or angry at your mother, then the person who makes you angry, the person who seduces you, has your first loyalty. And so therefore, one of those parties, and I'm not telling you which one it is, one of them is a liar, and one is a bully, and he's a friend of all those who hate good.
I hear you. There is another caller here. We want to thank Margaret for calling the Saturday special. Now we're going to go to Jeff in a black helicopter who wants to go on with MG and Roy.
Okay.
Jeff, you're on the air. Hi.
Yeah, I was listening to Millie. She's just reading all that garbage from MoveOn.org. She doesn't really believe that stuff. She just reads it.
Yes, she does. She believes what she wants to believe.
Anyway, you know, going along the same lines that Roy was talking about there, you know, the Islamics are pagans. You look at this war in Iraq. You know, the Chaldean religion is what brought us astrology. If you look at the Marxists, they're pagans as well. And all throughout the history of the world, paganism has been adverse to Judaism. And that's the reason why, you know, you look throughout history, and the pagans have always oppressed the Jews and have always hated the Jews. And it's part of the reason why our country's so divided, because Western civilization itself is based on Mosaic law, and the pagans want to destroy it.
Well, you know, it's a good point of view, and it's, if you had a chance to elaborate elucidate on that, you'd probably make better points. But yes, if it wasn't for Abraham looking at the sacrifice of little children and homosexuality and idols and walking away from that civilization into the desert, we wouldn't have a Western civilization that could stand up to all of the evil forces in America, especially America. Especially is one of the noblest countries that ever was, but I'm very sorry to say that over the years, because of the inroads made to destroy the family, and purposely so, to divide the country, willfully so, to demoralize the kids at school, saying there's no right and wrong, and encouraging, praising their wildness, and criticizing their brightness. And so after a while, all the kids in the class will turn on the kid that's still bright, and the teacher will call him a troublemaker. And so we have mental hospitals full and always being treated with the wrong way that doesn't make a person better, only makes them worse, with pills and drugs, never getting at the cause. And so that's why this country is so damn shallow. And all you stupid liberals out there, you know, are not just mentally ill. It's not a mental illness so much as if you can hear this message, it is a mental illness, because a person who's mentally ill still has a soul that sees there's something wrong with them. It's called conflict. And there's a conflict because there's a conflict between what he's becoming because of the pressures and lies he's been subjected to, and the cruelty and the deceitfulness, and what he could be if he could overcome it from within and become a noble giant. And if we could all become noble people and listen to what we know is right in our hearts and overcome the conditioning of our childhood, we would see clearly, very clearly, that who's right and wrong, no matter how glib, no matter how smart, no matter how polished and lawyer-like, it doesn't matter. We would see sincerity shining in a person. See, but we're all carried away by words and invective and our conditioning, and we're drawn towards the worst in other people who support the worst in us. You see, this has happened, and you get married that way, and you have business partners that way. You think, oh, this person is wonderful, he's going to help me, and all of a sudden you wake up one morning and he's helping himself to you. And ladies and gentlemen, I submit that you're not just, many of you liberals, you're not insane, you're unsane. It means it's a spiritual thing. You won't see. After a while, you become stubborn. You won't see. No matter how right the other person is, that's why you can't have a debate with your kind of people.
Sounds like someone's trying to call you.
Yeah, it's all right. They go to hell.
I find it interesting, this resurgence of neo-paganism in our society.
Yeah, well, of course it is. No, people have no value.
Caller wants a quick definition of pagan or paganism.
Anything that is not Judaic.
Okay.
Well, it's just the worship of it's the worship of pleasures. That's
of phantasms.
By the way, our previous caller, Margaret, called back to say KZ should be a guest on Roy Masters' show. I don't know if Roy ever has guests on the advice line.
Who's
my mother, you know, she does.
Oh, yes, she's a wonderful lady.
Yes, and she's very, very bright with her commentaries. Yeah.
She loves my magic tricks.
That's exactly. Oh yeah, I wish we could do your magic tricks on the radio. that'd be great. Anyhow, listen, Jeff, Helicopter Jeff, thanks for your call to the.
Thank you, Jeff.
One other thing I wanted to say is that if you look at these idolatries we have currently in our society, you know, the idolatry of perversion, the idolatry of their own conceit and vanity is the reason why we have abortions, and I find it very interesting that Senator Kerry likes that idolatry and actually wants to promote it with federal dollars.
Well, can you imagine having a president that absolutely, when a baby comes out of the mother womb, just before it comes out, they sort of stick a knife in the back of its head and kill it, and saying it's not a baby? I mean, what kind of mentality is that?
It's a ritual sacrifice.
What kind
sacrifice.
Of mentality is it that looks at homosexual marriages and makes an argument for it? Doesn't anyone have any common sense to see that the common sense can see there's something wrong with that? It just goes against the grain of your common sense.
Guys, we only have 5 minutes left, and we have to do a commercial. I have to read this fax.
Right,
okay, so thank you, Jeff, here now. Here's DRMZ. This is from Steve in Watsonville. Population Pat had almost convinced me he was infinitely knowledgeable on the subject of ecology, but today he stated our environment is in the worst shape since 65 million years ago when the asteroid hit. But that statement ignores the dozens of ice ages we've had since then, and which weren't caused by Bush. What was the gap in Pat's boundless knowledge? Was that a gap in Pat's boundless knowledge, or does he think he'd be better off with an ice sheet over Monterey Bay? Oops, that's right. Another ice age could help ease that overpopulation problem. Pat might think that would be swell. Okay, here's the commercial break. Kill the promos, please, Aaron, and we'll be back in just a few minutes with final words from Roy.
Okay.
Bye.
Hi, this is Bill Graff, KSCO's production director. Look, I could give you a lot of hoo-ha about how great our computer system is here. Bottom line is this. We have enough computers in this building that if our computers didn't work right, we'd be in a world of hurt. And our computers generally work pretty well. And when they don't, we can give a call to Dennis and the guys at Day and Night Computer, and they come over and fix them right away. We don't have to wait any time of the day or night. You know, that's nice for a business like ours that's so heavily dependent on computers and technology. Look, you can do whatever you want. My advice to you, though, is to call Dennis if you have a computer question or a computer problem, or if you just want him to build you a computer. And best of all, he'll save you time and money, and I suppose that's what it's really all about. The more money you save and the less downtime you have, the more profitable your company will be. If you don't have a company, hey, time is money at home too. Remember that. Talk to Day and Night Computers. Call 465-7340. That's 465-7340. Do yourself a favor. Life is a journey, so take more of them. Did you know you can travel 1,000 miles for less than $250, including room and board? But wait, RVs of Meriden Scotts Valley now has a motorhome that gets 22 miles per gallon. That's right, it's the new MB Cruiser with a Mercedes turbo diesel engine, 5-speed transmission, and it's fully self-contained. You can use it for work, vacation, and get a second home right off, too. The MB Cruiser is only 22 feet long, and it's beautiful. Remember, 15-year motorhome financing is still available with payments less than a new car payment. RVs of Merit has over 4 acres of Winnebagos, Alphacias, Weekend Warrior, Toy Haulers, Bigfoot, Forest River, National RV, Airbus, and pre-owned motorhomes, too. The sooner you have an RV, the longer you can enjoy it. Come to RVs of Merit. Say hi and look over the 2004 closeout models now. While selection is the best, RVs of Merit is open 9 to 6 every day. RVs of Merit on Scotts Valley Drive, just north of Santa Cruz in Scotts Valley.
It must be. It has to be. With that big sound, it's gotta be KSCO.
You mean I was on the air during that?
That was an accident.
Is that why you were laughing?
Yeah.
See, I thought I was off the air. I figured I could clear my throat, and my mic was on like a dope, but you had it on, too. That was awful.
I had you off, and then I was turning you up in case you had a tidbit.
I didn't finish clearing my throat, so I'm going to go off. You know, I'll put Roy back on. He's an experienced, seasoned radio host, so he can talk while I'm clearing my throat.
All right. Well, I guess I'll wind up. Thank you very much, Michael. just want to say, look, you may not like me because actually I'm a lifelong...
You're talking about some of the listeners. I like you very much. Everybody,
you know, I know I'm
that.
Talking about my listeners. The listeners may not like me, but only because you're probably a spoiled brat, and or you probably had a strong father that was too mean, and I sound strong, therefore I must be mean. But I'm very strong in my view, but not mean in real life. You've got to be strong. If the bugle makes the uncertain cry, who will ready for battle? You've got to be. Maybe that also threatens you, that I'm so sure that makes you unsure. But I would like you to do me a favor, do yourself a favor and your country a favor. Drop your anger towards your father. Drop your anger towards your mother. Realize that if you don't do that, you become imprinted with an inclination to reject one and accept the other, and they both could be wrong, or you tend to reject the right one in favor of the one that spoiled you. See? So you've got to be... That's just one aspect of it, and there's not much time to elaborate.
Now, who can argue with that? I can't.
If you drop your anger towards both parents, because one of those candidates is riding on the fact that you hate... That, in other words, a certain amount of
Roy, for those people who are not very bright in our audience, why don't you tell us which candidate that is, because we only have about 10 seconds.
I'll tell you what, they know without me telling you. They know which one that
even
is.
Even some of our, we treasure our audience as some of the most intelligent people, but we do have some people who are not very bright who do listen to us.
Yes, well, I hope so, but the ones I've been listening to aren't too bright.
Okay, well, thank you very much. It's always
I can say it, but you can't.
Okay.
Yeah, that's all, folks.
KSCO Santa Cruz.
Radio Network News. It's Kurt Lewis reporting.
Good evening. KSCO Santa Cruz and KOMY Watsonville now end our broadcast day. We are owned and operated by the Zwirling Broadcasting System Limited. Our studios and transmitters are located at 2300 Portola Drive in Santa Cruz. KSCO is licensed to broadcast on a daytime full power of 10,000 watts at 1080 kilohertz. KOMY is licensed to broadcast on 1,000 watts full-time power at 1340 kilohertz.